FBI is now investigating the
Thank you. back. I am Katya in New York City, Yom Supari, to share with you our studies in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. I'd like to apologize for you for yesterday. It's no fault of Katya. My wife had to go out of town for family emergency, along with our second oldest daughter. And my mind was on their safety and travel. I spoke to her several times. Lasagna. And be that as it may, life goes on. And I feel it's imperative that we continue in our studies because we are dysfunctional as a people. Not only our dysfunctionism far as Yah is concerned, but our dysfunctionism far as each other's are concerned. We can't get together for anything constructively, positively, be it a funeral, be it a basketball game, be it a block party, be it a picnic, you name it, I'll call it. We are a monstrosity, not by force, but by choice. But if we choose to do what Most High says and become codified, and that applies to anything in life, becoming codified. If you refuse to get codified with the Elohim, you certainly will refuse to get codified with one another. A further travesty. We're looking for solutions from our enemies in every aspect of our lives. There is no solution. There are temporary remedies, but there are no clear-cut solutions for us. It's true. The evidence speaks for itself. But we're here to with you tonight, Cartrell and I, to find out how dysfunctional we can be through our studies, and can we choose to become codified spiritually and not physically. It's true. That being said, before we get started in our studies tonight, I'd like to thank the Most High for the safety of my wife and our second child, female child, Hanadi. I'd like to thank the Most High for my wife's family and to pray for them and their troubles. And to pray for them and their troubles in regards to my oldest daughter with my wife. She's having some personal problems. And they go through it. And they build from it. I'd like to thank the Most High for my help. I'd like to thank the Most High for the prospects of having my soul restored for his name's sake. I'd like to thank and praise the Most High. I order every aspect of my life, from the water I drink to the food I eat, to friends I associate with, and so on and so forth. And I want to thank the Most High for you fellow students, because it appears that you want to get codified with the Most High. And you want to become codified with your brothers and sisters. That's why the Most High suspects it. Love the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And your brothers and sisters codification. You see what I'm saying? Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Praise Yah. And bless his holy name. So without further ado, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless Yah, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Brother Yom Supari, all the family that's out there, shalom. May the Most High bless Yah. How y'all doing?
We're doing okay, Brother Katya. I believe Nasanya is listening to the show on her phone. Mm-hmm.
Shout out. This is to Nasanya. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like you, I give thanks to the Most High for all things and everything. Life, health, and strength. Thank you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Food, shelter, and clothing. And for being my friend. Love Yah with all my heart, soul, and might, and I pray that he considers me his friend. But I thank mm-hmm. him for opening up our eyes spiritually, mentally, and physically to our roots, our culture, and our history in the midst of this captivity. Praise Yah.
And you know, Katya, speaking of friends, it's an honor to be a friend with you, brother. It's an honor. Thank you.
Yes, sir. It's definitely an honor to be a brother, too. Thank you all for the platform and the work that you're putting in, bro.
the work that we're putting in, my brother. It ain't no me without you. Brother Cottrell, fellow students, Brother Cottrell and I will be studying 2 Samuel, chapter 14, Absalom's returns to Jerusalem. And also, chapter 45 of Yeshayahu. Some of y'all say, no, it ain't no Isaiah. It's Yeshayahu, chapter 45. Cyprus, Yah's instrument. Yah can use anything for his instrument. He uses it in olden time. He can use it in modern time. He used people for his own instruments. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Brother Cottrell and fellow students, you people ready to get started? I'm ready to get started.
Yes, sir.
Praise Yah. Thank you, Brother Cottrell.
Praise Yah.
Absalom returned to me. Thank you, Brother. Hallelujah. Kenpo, King Dawid, Kenpo, he sees how things are going, and he tries to remedy the situation. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was concerned about Absalom, as we all be concerned about one another. And Joab sent to Tokiah and bought from there a wise woman and said to her, please pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning apparel. Do not anoint yourself with oil, but act like a woman who has been mourning a long time for the dead. Go to the king. Speak to him in this manner. So Joab put the words in her mouth. When a woman of Tekoa spoke to the king, she fell on her face to the ground and prostrated herself and said, help, O king. So the king said to her, what troubles you? She answered, indeed, I am a widow. My husband is dead. Now your maidservant had 2 sons, and the 2 fought with each other in the field. There was no one to part them, but one struck the other and killed him. Now the whole family has risen up against your maidservant, against her, and they said, deliver him who struck his brother, that we may execute him for the life of his brother, whom he killed. And we were, and as a result, she's saying, we will destroy the heir also. So they would extinguish my ember that is left in this one son, although it's a story, and leave it to my husband neither name nor remnant on the earth in this story. Then the king said to the woman, go to your house. I will give orders concerning you. And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, my lord, O king, let the iniquity be on me and on my father's house. And the king in his throne is guiltless. Whatever transpires after this, the story she's telling the king. So the king said, whoever says anything to you, bring him to me, and he shall not touch you anymore. Then she said, please let the king remember that Yah your Elohim do not permit the avenger of blood to destroy another, lest they destroy my son. He said, as Yah lives, no one hair of your son, the remaining one, shall fall to the ground in this storyline. Therefore, the woman said, please, let your maidservant speak another word to my lord, the king. And he said, say on. So the woman said, why then have you schemed such a thing against the people of Yah? For the king speaks this thing as one who is guilty. And that the king, talking in reference to him and Absalom, and Amnon, and that the king does not bring his banished one home, in reference to Absalom. Why are you speaking double-minded? So she says, forked tongue. For we should surely die and become like water spilled on the ground, all of us, which cannot be gathered up again. Use this opportunity, she's saying, while you're living, to rectify the situation as far as your son Absalom is concerned. Yet Yah does not take away a life, but he devises means so that his banished ones are not expelled from him. Now, therefore, think about that. Yah devises means, not you, devises means so that his banished ones, think about that, are not expelled from him, because Yah loves us. Now, therefore, I come to speak of this thing to my Lord the King, because the people have made me afraid. And your maidservant said, I will now speak to the king. It may be that the king will perform the request of his maid, although it's a story. For the king will hear and deliver his maidservant from the hand of the man who would destroy me and my son together from the inheritance of Yah. Your maidservant said, the word of Yah, the word of my Lord the king will now be comforting as to what you spoke in my regard. For as the angel of Yah, so as my Lord the king is representative and discerning good and evil if this man is on the side of Yah. And may Yah your Elohim be with you. Although she told him a twofold story about herself, which is a made-up story, and about his sons, Amnon and Absalom. When the king answered and said to the woman, please do not hide from me anything, because he's suspicious that I may ask you. And the woman said, please let my lord the king speak. So the king said, is the hand of Joab with you in all this? Did Joab devise this thing, so to speak? And the woman answered and said, as you live, my lord the king, no one can turn the right or the right hand or to the left from anything that my lord the king has spoken. For your servant Joab commanded me, and he put all these words in the mouth of your maidservant. Why? To bring about this change of affairs, your servant Joab has done this thing. Because he want to bring about change. He want to elicit change in you. He know what Nathan done to you in that regard, as far as Bathsheba is concerned. So he thought he could elicit some change with you on the attitude of Amnon and Absalom. And life ain't forever. You got to let it go, king, so to speak, in so many ways. But my Lord, she's speaking in reference to the king. Because he know he's connected. He's under code. But my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of the angel of Yah. You are a representative of Yah. When you're in code, to know everything that is in the earth, because he's under code. And the king said to Joab, all right, I've granted this thing. Go therefore, bring back the young man Absalom. I see what you're saying, Joab. I'll say, all right. Can't stay mad at him forever. Although he killed my elders, the Most High gonna devise the mean and the final analysis. And they're going to rectify all this situation, so to speak. But I'm here. Absalom is here. So let's try to rectify and correct this situation. Then Joab and his homies, his cousin, his nephew, before the king, fell to the ground on his face and bowed himself, humbled himself, and thanked the king. Because he knew what the king was going through. And he wanted to help the king remedy this situation. And Joab said, today, your servant knows that I have found favor in your sight, my lord, O king, and that the king has fulfilled the request of his servant. So Joab rose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. And the king said, let him return to his own house, but do not let him see my face. I don't want to see him. Let him come on home. So Absalom returned to his own house, but he did not see the king's face. The situation is not totally remedied yet. The king feels that he has to set an agenda, and he still had issues over the fact that he murdered his elders. So the king has to set himself in a position that Absalom don't think this eases. Everybody think they can get by with this kind of mess when you're not under code. Absalom was not under code what he did to his brother Amnon. And so the king, as Cotriel said, in his corrective manner, has to set a standard. You just can't just do nothing wrong and think everything goes flat and we're going to go back to being normal. So let's see what happens. King David forgives Absalom. Now, in Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom. And why is that? Because he sort of looked like his daddy, for his good looks, from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head. There was no blemish in him, Absalom. And when he cut off his hair at the end of every year, he cut his hair every year. He cut it because it was heavy on him. And when he cut it, he weighed the hair of his head. That's a mighty lot of hair, mighty big afro, at 200 shekels. according to the king's standard. So Prince Absalom were born to Absalom. Prince Absalom, he had children, was born three sons. Ironic. One daughter whose name was Tamar, after his sister. She was a woman of beautiful appearance. And Absalom, Prince Absalom, dwelt 2 years in Jerusalem. But the king sat in the stand. He did not see the king's face. Therefore, Prince Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king. But Joab, he would not come to him. When he sent again the second time, he would not come. And here he go again with his coldest actions. So he says to his servant, see, Joab's field is near mine. He's barely there. Go and set it on fire, still without coal. Because Joab wouldn't come to him. And Joab and Absalom's servant set the field on fire. Then Joab arose and came to Prince Absalom's house and said to him, why have your servant set my field on fire? And Prince Absalom answered Joab, look, I sent to you saying, come here, arrogant, so that I may send you to the king to say, why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me to be there still. If your attitude toward me, so to speak, is going to be the way it's toward me, I ain't seen you in a couple of years since I've been here. If it's going to be like that, I might well be in Geshur. If that's the way it's going to be. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face, his father. But if there's iniquity in me, in regards to what he did to Amnon or his brother or anything else, let him execute me. If he's going to do it like that, don't bring me in to torture me, father. I want to see your face. You my daddy, so to speak. So Joab went to the king and told him what Absalom had said to him. And when he had called for Absalom, the king, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king. And then the king, in a forgiving manner, a loving manner, as a father, a mother, and certainly only a father and mother can understand the dynamics that are going on, the king kissed Prince Absalom. But Prince Absalom, now I'm going to put the course caught before the horse. He hadn't learned anything yet. He's arrogant. His arrogance got Amnon murdered. His arrogancy got Joab, his kinfolk, field burnt. I mean, he's speaking right. He's talking nice. But he's not under code. And his action and his coders are dysfunctional. He didn't learn anything from the murder of his brother, his eldest brother. He didn't learn anything from being ostracized by the king, his father. He didn't learn anything by burning the field of his kinfolk. He just want things to look good on the surface. But deep down inside, Chris Absalom is still dysfunctional because he has no code with Yah. He has no code with mankind in regards to his father and his kinfolk, Joab. He's acting out of code. And brothers and sisters, if you act out of code, the end result will very well be the end result. As far as when we continue these studies, you'll find out. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Brother Cartrell, you have the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And very interesting story.
Exactly.
The whole family was dysfunctional. And it didn't start with Absalom. It started with King David himself. When he violated Uriah the Hittite. And the fact that he didn't make right what Amnon did to Tamar, Absalom's blood sister, by the same mother, same father, set everything off in motion. Imagine your brother raping your sister. that is like an emotional thing, an emotional scar that would never go away. And rape in Israel is like murder. And he felt like he had to take the position of the avenger of blood because of what happened to Tamar. Not saying that it was right, but it's interesting how they knew how to push each other's buttons. Joab knew how to push King David's button. Absalom knew how to push Joab's button. Anybody push him button. Praise God.
Go ahead, brother. And Cottrell, truth be told, in this contemporary time, we know how to push those buttons. And we are dysfunctional as Prince Absalom was. Dysfunctional, in a certain regard, as King David was. I think these stories are to tell us we can't be out of code. We got to remain in the code, otherwise we become dysfunctional. Cottrell is so right. Bless his holy name. Brother Cottrell, if you're done, we can proceed on to the final segment of study tonight, chapter 45 of Yeshayahu. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. You for the great prophet. They call him the Eagle Eye Prophet, Yeshayahu, chapter 45. Thus saith Yah to his anointed, to King Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him, that gates may not be closed. And as my brother Yam Su said, Yah is the father of all nations, creator of all nations, and he could use whoever he wants at any time he wants to. King Cyrus is an Asiatic Shemitic king. He's in a family, Abraham and Shem, sons of Shem. He goes on to say, I will go before you and level the exalted places, these out-of-way worshiping places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, Yah, the Elohim of Yisrael, who call you by your name. So King Cyrus knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For the sake of my servant, Yaakov, and Yisrael, my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, so you do not know me. I am Yah, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no Elohim. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am Yah, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am Yah, who does all these things. Shower, O heavens from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. Yes, we waited for that day. Let the earth open up, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Yes, we're waiting for that day. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, Yah, have created it. That's what we're waiting to see. Woe to him that strives with him who formed him. You ain't supposed to be arguing with the Most High, fighting his codes and his law. Why are you striving with the Most High?
Hallelujah.
Upon earth and pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? That's funny, right? How the clay going to ask the potter, what are you making?
Exactly. It's ludicrous.
Or your work.
Yeah.
Right. Or your work has no handles. You're trying to tell Yah how to do his work.
Right.
Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Because like I said, the Most High is the father of all the nations on planet Earth. He just chose Israel, our nation, to be his servant. Or to a woman, with what are you in labor? Can't question these things.
Thus saith Yah, the Holy One of Yisrael, and the one who formed him, ask me of things to come. Will you command me concerning my children and the works of my hands? See, this is where Christianity goes left, because they think that the Most High only has one son. When he said he has children, sons and daughters.
Exactly.
I made the earth. You think a man made the earth? You know what
I'm saying? No. No figure of my imagination.
Here's the twist right here, because Christians think that Jesus is God. No. I made the earth and created man on it, meaning God is not a man. He created the earth for man and created man on it. Why would he make himself a man? Don't make sense. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens. And you notice the heavens is plural, because there's not one heaven. Christians
right.
think they're going for one heaven. No, there's more than one. And I commanded all their hosts. I have stirred him up in righteousness, and I will make all his ways level. He shall build my city and set my exiles free. That's us, baby. We the exiles. Still in captivity.
Exactly.
Cell block 10550. Not for price or reward, says God, folks. No. We ain't going back for money. Going back free. Thus saith Yah, the wealth of Mizraim and the merchandise of Cush and the Sabians, men of stature, shall come over to you and be yours. These are people of color, which you want to call today black people, Egyptians and Ethiopians and Sabians. These are black people.
Yeah.
And we know that Esau, the Jewish men, they are pretty racist in their view of people of color. But we see the wealth of Mizraim, the merchandise of Cush, and the Sabians, and the statues shall come over to you and be yours. They shall follow you. They shall come over in chains and bow down to you. They will plead with you, saying, surely Elohim is with you. And there is no other, no Elohim besides him. That's going to be evident when Yah makes his presence felt in the earth. Truly, you are Elohim who hides himself. Ain't nobody seen the Most High. O Elohim of Israel, the Savior. That's his title, the Savior. All of them are put to shame and confounded that make of idols go in confusion together. But Israel is saved by Yah with everlasting salvation. You shall not be put to shame or confounded to all eternity. These are some of the most important verses in the scripture. It's about us. Israel, that's us, is saved by Yah. With what? Everlasting salvation. How long is everlasting?
By my accounting, Brother Cadre, that's forever.
Oh, yeah. And this is salvation that we, Israel, the nation, should be looking for. But thus saith Yah, who creates the heavens. He is Elohim, who formed the earth and made it. He established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. And what does mankind want to do? He wants to blow it all up with nuclear weapons.
Crazy.
Y'all in trouble.
Y'all
in trouble. Why are you striving with your maker, your creator? I am Yah, and there is no other. I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. Did not say to the offspring of Yaakov, seek me in vain. I speak the truth. I declare what is right. Assemble yourselves and come. That means gathering ourselves, unto. That means gathering yourself. When you assemble, that means when you gather together. Join near together, you survivors of the nation. That's what we want to do. We ain't going into no bunkers. We ain't doing day prepping. We prepping according to Yah's plan. How about that? They have no knowledge who carry about wooden idols and keep on praying to a God that cannot save. Declare and present your case. Let them take counsel together. Who told this long ago? Who declared it of old? Was it not I, Yah? And there is no other Elohim besides me, a righteous Elohim and a Savior. See, this chapter, Christians should put on a wall in their house. Because they're looking for a savior in all the wrong places. Because Elohim, the God of Israel, is the savior, a savior. And guess what he says? There is none besides me. How plain can that be? How much clearer can that be? Turn to me and be saved. Oh, yeah.
Quite simple.
And what do you say? Turn to me and be saved. Who are you turning to? Jesus? I turn to Allah? I turn to Buddha? Right. And Yah is telling all his creation to turn to him. He ain't just talking to Israel. What do you say? Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am Elohim, and there is no other. How much clearer can that be? By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone out in righteousness a word that shall not return, which is what we study 5 nights a week, Yah's words, the words from his mouth, the words that shall not return. To me, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear allegiance. It sounded like Christianity stole that quote, didn't it?
Exactly. Plagiarism.
Plagiarism. That's what they call it. Plagiarism. Only in Yah, it shall be said of me, are righteousness and strength. To him shall come and be ashamed. To him shall come and be ashamed all who are incensed against him. There's a lot of people against the Most High. And Yah shall the offspring of Yisrael be justified. That's where we're going to get justice. That's where we're going to get peace. In Yah. And shall glory in the Most High. All praise to the Holy One Yisrael. This has to be a chapter that should be highlighted in the hearts and minds of our people. And it's a message to the world. Because Yah, he's letting the world know. He's the creator. He stretched out the heaven. He made the earth. He put man in it. He intended for the earth to be inhabited. And why are you fighting against our creator? All praises.
All praises. This study that Brother Contrail studied with you is very informative. Straight to the point. No sugarcoat. And it's true. It is the code of Yah. It's the relief mechanism for mankind. And I hope, my advice to you would be to study the Most High. Take these words of wisdom and activate these words of wisdom. Meditate on them. Apply them. And see the end result. Because if your end result is dysfunctionism, a monstrosity, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be your choice. You could choose something otherwise. You could choose to believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, or you could choose to believe mankind. It's up to you. Your creator or your masters. It's just that simple. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. Praise Yah. And bless his holy name. May the Most High bless each of you and be with you throughout the course of this weekend. And come back and study with us, the Most High willing, this come Monday. Thank you, Brother Cartier, for your dedication to the Most High. We appreciate you on this study show. Praise Yah. Brother Cartrail, any final remarks in closing? Shaloms of the night.
I just want to reiterate what this chapter's message is by reading verse 8 through 10 again.
Go ahead, brother.
It says, shower, O heavens from above, more than one heaven, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. That's what we want to see. Let the earth open up, that salvation and righteousness may bear fruit. Let the earth cause them both to sprout. I, Yah, have created it. So that's like him planting a seed, like he's a farmer. These things are about to spring forth. And what does it say? Woe to him who strives with him who formed him. And that's all mankind, right? A pot among earthen pots. Does the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? For your work has no handles. Woe to him who says to a father, what are you begetting? Or to a woman,
what are you in labor? With what are you in labor? So this is a message for all mankind. We should not be striving with our maker. We should be all the earth, every human being on planet earth, every living thing on planet earth should be codified with our creator, with our father, with our king. So these things are to come. And as Yamsu says, it's time to choose sides. So are you going to side with mankind who strives with his maker? Are you going to take sides with your maker and be in tune with him? We pray that you choose the latter and be in tune with your maker and don't even worry about what mankind is doing. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. May the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to our creator, our rock, and our redeemer. Praise y'all. We love y'all. Shalom and good night.
Thank you, my brother. As my brother said, we love y'all. Shalom and good night.
Movement of justice. baby.